And they mentioned a term, and it got my attention, and I've thought about it since then, and it's what has brought me to this message. I've titled the message, A Whole Christian, and I'd like for you to be thinking about that. What do you picture as a whole Christian? How does a whole Christian look like to you? In this conversation, as I was speaking with a friend of mine, they were sharing about Christians, those of us, our families, our churches back home, just the church in general, that we need whole Christians. We need whole Christians. We hear the term half-hearted. I don't know, we probably don't hear the term wholehearted, but here is a whole heart, okay? You think of something that's whole, here's a whole heart, and you can take that and there's half of a heart. And I think we understand that a whole heart is something that we have to have it. We have to have our complete heart in order for it to function and work. So wholeheartedness, to be a whole Christian. I feel that we as Christians, and myself included, as I was studying and preparing for this, it's for me just as well as anyone else. But sometimes I believe we try living our lives and we're not the whole person that we could be. We can be involved in ministry, we can even be members of the church, the bride of Christ, but yet not be whole. We may look whole, may look right, but what about being whole? Here's a quote by Max Lucado, or Lucado, however you say it. Now I want you to take this and think about it. It's the first time that I think I've ever heard it. I came across it the other day. And it uses the term whole, but in two different meanings. Jesus not only wants your whole heart, he wants your heart whole. So you understand the two different meanings there of whole. And I think that's where I would like to go in this message, looking at what the whole idea of living a whole Christian life for the Lord Jesus and what that looks like. It has two meanings, and we need to look at that. The first meaning of whole that we want to look at is, I'll just give a definition, would be whole, would be sound in health, having good health, enjoying good health. You're whole in health. No disease, or you're not injured. Recently, you know, Merlin here, he had a whole handful of fingers. He doesn't anymore. He's missing part of that finger. He's no longer whole. So thinking of, understand me right. I hope he's a whole Christian. And physically, we're talking about physical health now. He no longer has a whole hand. He has most of it, but there's a portion of it that is gone. Physically fit. We can be whole, physically fit. You know, we can exercise. We can do all that. And I think this is something that maybe, you know, we can achieve as it relates to the physical side. We work on those things. We take medicines and, you know, we are sick, but then we become whole through medicine and all. The other whole that we're talking about is where my mind would go to most when I think of the word whole, and that is 100%, you know, complete, the entire heart. The entire being, complete, not divided. It's just everything. Everything is there. And I think probably for the Christian, the meaning of this whole is where we find ourselves maybe falling short at times in our whole Christianity. And when I do not experience these two wholes in my life, then I don't think I can bring glory to God and bless others. Because the joy of Christ then does not flow because I am not a whole person. I want to just illustrate these two meanings of whole so that you get it and it stays with you, okay? Let's look at the whole that I spoke of last here, of being complete. Something that is whole is complete. And I've already given that illustration of the heart. But let's just look at maybe something else here. Now here I have a puzzle. How many of you children enjoy putting puzzles together? How many of you children enjoy putting puzzles together? How many of you adults enjoy putting, okay? Diane had her hand up even for the children's. So we enjoy putting puzzles together. Some of us maybe don't. But here's a beautiful puzzle. In fact, we just put this together a couple of weeks ago in our home. This is a whole complete puzzle. Every piece is in here. It was when we put it together. We put it back in the box. Every piece is in here. It's a beautiful puzzle. It's a picture of Noah's Ark and animals. Who would like to take this puzzle home with them and just you can keep it as a gift? Who would like to have it as a gift? One of you children. If you come up here, I'll give it to you. You can take it home as a gift. Whoever comes up here first. Okay, right here. Come on up. You want to come up here and I'll give you this box? Let me just open it up here a little bit. And let's see if we can look at all these pieces in here. Gotta get the box open. You like putting puzzles together? Yeah. Okay, look at all those puzzles. There's 500 pieces in here. Hey, look at all them pieces. You think your mom and dad probably can help you do that, right? Okay? So I'm gonna give this box back to you. Thank you. I'm gonna keep this one piece, but you can take it back. Okay? Now, I gave her a puzzle. And that's hers. That's for them to put together. Is that puzzle worth anything now that I kept one piece? Is it really worth? Yeah, you could put it together, but to put it on the wall or something, sometimes people put puzzles together, they put them on the wall. It's not complete anymore, is it? Because I have one piece here. That puzzle is no longer whole. One small piece is missing. There's 499 back there. So you can come up here and you can take this other piece and give this to your mom and she can put it in the box and then you can have a puzzle that you can put together and it will be, every piece will be there. It will be completely whole. Okay, don't lose it. Now you have a whole puzzle. It's complete. All right? So as you think about that, think about your life and being complete. A whole person in Christ. Just another little illustration as it relates to being complete. What is this? What's this here? 5-year-old note, right? Yes, that's a whole 5-year-old note. You don't know if it's real or if it's fake, but it's a 5-year-old note. That's who of you children would like this? Any of you would like this? You want it? You come up, I'll give it to you. can I take it and I'll give it to you, but can I keep part of it? Would that work? No? You would want it. You want to, if I just rip it in half, would that work? Okay. I'm not going to rip it in half because we're not supposed to tear money. And this is money. This is real. Okay? I'm going to give you this whole 5-year-olds. That is for you to spend wisely. Okay? And you can go back there and sit with your grandma. And that's a whole 5-year-old note. Now, I could have taken that thing and ripped it in half. I tried to lay that on a copier to make a copy of it so that I could rip it in half. But guess what? A copier will not copy notes over here. It's interesting. It copied that much of it, then the rest of it was white. So there's something you won't be able to copy money over here. It was interesting. So we understand what something whole is. If I would have ripped that 5-euro note in half, gave it to him, he could have done nothing with it. He may have could have taped it together, and somebody would have probably taken it. But we need a whole piece. So we understand what whole means now in being complete. Let's look at what whole means now being in sound in health. Being sound whole in health. Your body, but beyond that, let's look at our spiritual health. That's what is really what we're looking at. Here is something that I have, and this is an apple. All right? It's a whole apple. Right? Completely whole. Now, it looks nice. It looks right. I think if I would eat it, it would probably taste good. But it's not quite whole. It's whole as in complete, pretty much. But there is something there that if I look closely here, let's see what. Yeah. Would you, that apple now is whole, but look what came out of it. I just pulled that out of it. That doesn't look too appetizing, does it? So that apple was not whole, you know, physically. That's not a real worm. It's supposed to look like one. But apples have worms in them. And sometimes if we don't know that and we bite into them and we see something like that, we usually stop and we throw it away because it's contaminated. It's not whole. It's not physically fit anymore. All right? Now, one more illustration. Here is a cup. And thank you, Jimmy, for giving me a beautiful cup of water there. But I want to use this cup. There's a cup, a whole cup. Now, I'm going to pour some water in here, and you can tell me if I fill this cup and make it full of water, completely full. I'm not going to go till it pours out. But that water is filled up to the brim. You can't see it, but it's full. You see that water coming out top. That water, that cup is as much water as I can put into it. Is that cup whole with water? You can't see inside of it, but from all appearance, I filled it up as much as I could with water. But what's inside of that cup has made that cup, you wouldn't want to drink out of it. You could probably drink out and be safe, but there is some floaties on top, and there is even some things in the cup that if I would take out, there's a rock. So that cup wasn't really wholly full of water. It wasn't quite, it was full of water, but as I take these out, that water goes down. And there's another rock. And there's actually one more in there. It's a pretty big one. So now that cup doesn't have near as much water. That water level is down here because those rocks took up a lot of space in there. So that cup was not, you know, completely full to the extent that it could be now if I would put more water into it. Sometimes that is what happens in my life, is there is bits and pieces that allows my life to not become whole in Christ. So let's just look now at Scripture. We haven't gone there yet, but let's look at Scripture and look at what this looks like in Scripture. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, and we are going to look at this wholeness in as it relates to the physical side, in the health side of things. We're going to look at the story, the account of the 10 lepers, and that's found in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 9. We will read that, And if you would, those of you that can, and can, yeah, it worked for you, why don't we stand while we read verses
9-11.
Luke 17, 11 through 19. I'm sorry, I think I said that wrong. 11 through 19. Luke 17, 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him ten men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, Go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. All right, you may be seated. A story here of the 10 lepers. I'm sure you have heard that story over and over again. Now, let me ask you the question. How many of these men were made whole of their disease? Someone just tell me. 10, right. 10 of them were healed. All of them were healed of their disease of leprosy. How many of them experienced what we're talking about this morning of being whole of their in their lives? Not just of their disease, but just whole in their life. How many experienced that after Christ seen them? Any thought? I would say just one. Because in verse 17, and I'm taking this verse, the word that I like here is found in the King James Version. I think it in the New King James in verse 19, it says, Your faith has made you well. That was the response Jesus gave to the one that came back. The King James says like this, Go thy way. He said, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And that's the picture. And I think this, the well that's in the New King James, it's all to do with that same meaning. This whole in the Greek would mean, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but pronounce something like sozo, which means safe. This man was now safe. He was saved. Not only from his sickness was he made whole, but as he came back to Jesus and fell down at his feet and worshipped him and thanked him, he now was a whole person. He was complete. He was safe. That is what this meaning is. A beautiful picture. 10 were healed of their disease. Only one would have come back and was truly made whole. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I'm going to read another account here of a person that was made whole of a disease. Mark chapter 5, verse 24 through 34. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, Who touched me? Who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, Who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, Daughter, your faith has made you well or has made you whole. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Here is another beautiful picture of a woman that was healed. Verse 29, it speaks of her being healed of her disease. The minute she touched the hem, she knew that she was healed. She felt it. It was taken care of. That disease was made whole. But it wasn't until later she comes and is there, and it says she tells Jesus the whole truth, and there the same thing happens. She is made whole in a much greater way as she comes to Jesus and falls at his feet. There are two verses in Matthew that I would like to read. And these just bring out the seriousness of what being made whole for us as Christians should look like. As you think of your life, a whole, whole person. And what all could that mean for you? Here are some verses we've heard many times, but it just brings out the seriousness of being a whole Christian. Matthew 18, verse 8. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into your life lame or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet, or to be cast into everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into the life with one eye, rather than to having two eyes, to be cast into hellfire. You know, we can look right, we can say the right thing, but if there is a rock, if there is something that is in your life that does not make you a whole person, we must be willing to cast that off and to take care of that. Christ, God, needs whole Christians. Isaiah speaks of the coming Messiah that would bring true wholeness to those back in that time, and thinking of us here today. Isaiah 53:5 says like this, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." We are made whole because of this wonderful sacrifice. We can be made completely whole because of the stripes that our Lord Jesus was willing to bear. Turning your Bibles to Psalm 51. I just want to read here of how David sought and found wholeness in his life. David was a man that struggled, but he found wholeness as he came. And we want to look at that, at what he did to find this wholeness. Psalm chapter 51. I think we will probably read almost all of it. Yeah, I think let's just read all of it. And listen and pick out the phrases here that are key as he looked into his life and wanted to be completely, completely whole in Christ. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, and you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones that you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all of mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, a whole, whole heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, these, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offerings. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. Here we see David crying out to God for this complete heart, a whole heart that he so desired. Here are some key words and key phrases that I just jotted down. There's others, I'm sure. But here are some key phrases that I pulled out throughout this chapter, this psalm. Have mercy. He starts out with the cry of have mercy. And that is something we must cry out to God as we look at our lives and the wholeness. Have mercy, he says. He says, wash me thoroughly. He noticed, he knew he had rocks. He knew he had problems. He asked for that washing to take place. He says, I acknowledge my sin. He was at that point. He acknowledged his sin. He was asking God to take care of that, to be made whole. Purge me. Make me hear. That was his cry. Make me hear. And then he says, blot out. Those are just, I think, are keys for us today as we look at our lives. As you look within, those are things we need to come to grips with and to acknowledge in order to be a whole person. And after he asks for this, he goes on to say, create in me a clean heart. He wanted a complete heart, a full heart. He no longer wanted a half heart. He wanted a complete new heart. He wanted one that was completely whole. I didn't even notice that wasn't all red. So a complete heart was what he wanted. He also says, renew a steadfast spirit within me, restoring and uphold me and deliver me. Those are all things that he was asking for, and he had to find himself there. You and I need to find ourselves there in order to experience a whole heart. Notice the promise that we are given as we seek God with a whole heart and what he was given. Here it says, I'm not even sure which verse it is, but it says, wash me clean and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. Beautiful picture. Psalm 119:34 says this. It says, give me understanding and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. This is David's psalm again. I shall observe it with my whole heart. David's cry here is that he would obey the Lord. He wanted to be obedient to God's word. And that whole thing for us as Christians today needs to be that same attitude of obedience to the Lord Jesus. He understood that in order for this to happen, he would need a heart that is whole, completely healthy. Nothing, no rocks, no worms, no nothing. He needed to be entirely whole in order for that relationship with God. Let's now look at places in the scripture where it speaks of the heart being a complete heart, like what we demonstrated there with the puzzle and the 5-euro note. Let's look at places in scripture. Psalms 119:2. I'm just going to be pulling out some verses here, and these verses speak of what has to happen or what comes out when we have a heart that is complete in Christ. And we have to combine these two wholes together in order to make a whole 100% follower of Christ. They have to be together. We cannot do one without the other. So, Psalm 119:2 says like this, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. It speaks of keeping his testimonies. It speaks of obedience. A heart that is whole, a whole heart will be a heart that is obedient to God's word. Where does, as you look at your life, how obedient are you to God's word, to his spirit leading and directing in your life. Obedience comes from a whole Christian. That relates not only to just God's Word, of course, that's first and foremost, but then to your superiors, the people you work for, whoever that is, those that you're under authority, how obedient are you to those? A whole heart is in love with the Lord Jesus. Deuteronomy 6:5, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your whole heart, with your all of your soul, your whole soul, and with your whole strength." That is a love that we are called to have. A heart that is whole will love the Lord Jesus. How does your level of love for the Lord look like? Do we love other things more than the love of God? What is my passion? What is my affection? Where is your passion? Where is your affection set? I think we have the tendencies that they go kind of inward, but I think a whole heart has a passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's probably one that I look at in my own self. I can be fairly passionate about something. Can I have that same passion and desire for the things of the Lord? What makes you excited? What do you enjoy doing the most? Is it serving the Lord? Or does it tend to gravitate back towards self? A whole heart will serve willingly. Will serve willingly. Self is laid down and others are put in place. Out ahead of yourself. I'm going to read two verses here in 1 Chronicles. From two different locations in 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 28:9, it says like this, And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. This perfect heart was speaking of a heart that's whole. And then it follows up and it says, and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all the hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. 1 Chronicles 29:9. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with a whole heart, a perfect heart, they offered to the Lord willingly. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. So here, a heart that is whole in Christ is a heart that is going to be willing to serve. I don't know about you, but I love to have people that work for me, under me, if you're in that position, I don't know, that are willing to do it. To have someone there that's just there because they have to be there and they're not willing, they might as well go home. It's not a fun experience for them, for those they're working for, but if we're willing, a willing servant, it's a beautiful, beautiful picture. A willing person that has a whole heart is joyful and blesses others. Here are the people of Israel that we were just reading about. The reason they were willing to pull together and to build the house of the Lord was because their hearts were at the right place. They seen this as something that they were doing together. Do I see myself? Do you see yourself willing to do the things that are not the funnest or are difficult or maybe that aren't noticed? Or maybe you're asked to do something above and beyond what you're called to do, whatever that is. Maybe you're asked to, well, wherever you work, you thought you were done with your job and you found out that I got to put in another couple hours or whatever it is. How does that look for your life? I know how it looks for me sometimes. I struggle with it, but I think as our hearts are whole before the Lord Jesus, selfishness is laid down. The rock of selfishness or whatever it is, or bitterness or anger or whatever, we take care of that. We can then, out of a heart of wholeness, we can serve willingly, and it blesses other people. And not only that, it blesses you. You feel good about it. But if we're just putting in that time because we have to, because of it, it's a drudgery. A whole heart is one that spends time in the Bible, reading and in prayer. Recently we heard two messages back to back on sitting at the feet of Jesus and of God's Word being the bread of life. And we must find time there. A whole heart will find time there with this. Jeremiah 29:13, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart, your whole heart. And that seeking and finding is reading, it's spending time in prayer. That is the way we find wholeness in the Christian walk. Are you complete and are you healthy? Are you whole in this area of spending time with God? A whole heart comes from true repentance. Joel 2:12 said, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even with all of your heart, with your whole heart, turn. And with fasting as weeping and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and it repenteth him of the evil. A heart that is whole is one that must be broken, and come out of that then comes repentance. How does repentance look for you in your life? A whole heart puts away the things that can contaminate the heart. A whole heart doesn't let these stones and this mess here that we got out of the apple, it no longer lets them there where we bump into them again. We lay them aside. We put them behind us, and we move the other direction. We put it away. 1 Samuel 7:3. And Samuel spoke unto the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all of your hearts, your whole hearts, then put away the strange gods. Don't keep them kind of handy or hidden somewhere. Put them away, and the gods of Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord. Serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Once I truly repent, and I remove that trash, rubbish, from my life, then I can be a whole person, well pleasing to God. What are the gods, these strange gods that are among us today? What are they? It speaks here this God of Ashtaroth, but what are the things that contaminate us and make us as Christians and young people and adults and fathers and mothers that we are not whole? There's a whole list. Are you whole in your internet usage? Are you whole in your social media networks? How whole does that look as it relates to the healthy side of it? Are you whole in what you listen to, the music? Does that make you whole in Christ? Or is there something there? Are you whole in your thought life? That's an area that kind of just goes on there. No one else ever really knows that unless you share it with someone. But is your thought life whole? If it's not, and it's a continual drag on you, I cannot function as a whole Christian. Are you whole in your reading materials? I put reading materials because we can get books, but we can have magazines, and we can have newspapers, and we can have Kindles, and we can have whatever else on the internet. The things that you're reading, are they wholesome? Are they giving you life? Are they giving you something that allows you to grow in the Christian walk? Or is it just some fairy tale or whatever it is that gets your attention? I think we must be very careful with the things that we read. Are you whole in your speech? Are you whole with the money that you have? And are you spending it wisely? Possessions and material goods, and we could go on and on. A whole heart trust in God. I'm almost through. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, found in Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, your whole heart. Put your trust in Him. And don't lean on your own understandings. A whole Christian will trust in the Lord completely. Do I trust? Do I put my whole heart there? Or do I carry fear and anxiety and worry along? But I think if we're whole, we can realize that God has all of you, and He will carry you through. We can have concerns, and we can share that, but we don't have to live with anxiety and fears. The church here at Dunmore East needs whole Christians. I'm speaking to myself first and foremost. We need Christians that are whole, holy. You know, just not. You understand what I'm saying? We need whole Christians, complete, healthy, vibrant Christians that we can fill the roles where God has placed you, whether it's in the home, serving your family, whether it's baking breads, whether it's building furniture, working with young lads, building, making bracts, taking money to the bank, going to college, cutting grass, whatever it is. God wants every single part of you and myself. When this is in place, the kingdom will advance. I want to read two verses here in closing. And they're found in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 and 15. Deuteronomy 11, 13 and 15. Says like this, "And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments," hear this obedience, "which I command you, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all of your heart, your whole heart, and with all of your soul. Then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil." And one more verse, "And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that they may eat and be filled." There is a promise of God blessing us and supplying our needs as I live my life wholly for Him. Half-hearted Christianity, half-hearted Christian people will not be used as God would have them be used. We must experience the whole picture of life, the whole wholeness of the Christian walk. And God will bless you, and you will bless others. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father, we come before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege, God, to understand what the whole Christian life should look like. And God, as each one of us at times maybe has a rock or something in the way, I pray that we would be able to look at that and to lay it aside and to move on. God, help us to live lives that are wholly committed to you and to bless others and to be willing servants of yours in whatever we are asked to do, and realizing that it's for your kingdom and not for our own glory or honor. Bless each one that's here. Help us, God, as we go this next week to be those that are faithful in the calling you've given to us, and where there is areas that you have spoken to any of us here today, God, I pray that you would give the strength to repent of that, to lay it aside, to be cleansed, and to be made whiter than snow. So we commit our hearts to you, guide us, and keep us for your glory and for your honor. We pray this in your name. Amen.